Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season! My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
By the way, a minor piece of baseball news that happened in the last hour that I admit I'm mildly surprised about. Dominic Smith, the former Met who has been in Yankee camp on a non-roster invitation, had an opt-out clause today he could use if he wasn't going to make the Yankees 40-man roster. If the Yankees were going to add him to the 40-man roster, then Dom would stick around. If not, he had the opportunity to opt out. And Dom Smith, who's had a good camp, who certainly we thought about as possibly making the opening day roster, dare I say being the opening day DH with the injury to Giancarlo Stanton. Well, apparently the Yankees were never adding him to the 40-man roster because Dom Smith has indeed opted out. He is no longer with the New York Yankees. And so he was scratched from the lineup today. They're playing a game tonight, a game you'll hear right here on WFAN. And Dom Smith will not be a Yankee. So a mild surprise, not to get in the weeds too much, but it leads me to think that Ben Rice could make the team not just as the backup catcher, but as a third catcher and a left-handed bat who could DH and play some first base.
I think he's starting on opening day.
At DH?
Yeah, I think it's your opening day DH.
I think it's very, very possible. Ben Rice is valuable because he can catch, so you could literally just bring him as your backup catcher. But the problem is, if your backup catcher is also DHing, and then there's an injury to your starting catcher, you lose the DH. So you're probably in a better spot if you're the Yankees on carrying J.C. Ascara as your backup and having Ben Rice, who can also catch, which gives you great versatility because now you got three catchers on your roster.
I love it. And by the way, the Reds signed Jose Trevino for a 3-year extension. What are they thinking?
Well, he's a great defender.
Let's calm down. He couldn't throw out anybody.
No, he could throw anybody out of second, but he's a good pitch framer. Remember that. That matters. Aaron Rodgers, today he's in Pittsburgh. Will he be meeting with the Giants tomorrow? 888-808-1019. Ryan is calling from Fairfield. How are you, Ryan?
Hey, boys. Thanks for taking my call. So do you not think that, have we not learned from Aaron Rodgers, especially since COVID, this guy hates the media? Could he not just be like playing us like a fiddle and be like, oh, I'm here. I'm on a plane in Costa Rica. No, right. I'm actually in Jacksonville.
Yes, absolutely, Ryan.
You know?
Yes.
It's just like, and who cares? And then we can't really listen to the Pat McAfee show anymore because, I mean, I feel like since Pat's gone to ESPN, Aaron Rodgers is like, no, that's too big business. When Pat McAfee was solo, maybe we could get bits and pieces of information. But now Aaron Rodgers he's definitely playing his cards.
I think you are very right about that. See, we got to trust people when they tell us stuff. Sometimes we got to listen to what they say. And one thing Aaron Rodgers had said over and over again about reports around him was, don't believe it if you didn't hear it from me.
Yep.
And the more you hear reports about Aaron Rodgers, whether it's from Diana Russini or Adam Schefter, and I use them specifically because I think they're both really good reporters. No offense to them, but Aaron has called them out and said, they don't know me. Lose my number. I'm not giving you information. So you got to be skeptical over everything you hear, which is why I'm being honest by saying there are no reports that Rodgers is going to meet with the Giants. I'm using my brain. If he's meeting with the Steelers today, I assume if he has any interest in being a New York Giant, which apparently he does, he'll meet with them tomorrow or Sunday or Monday.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's surprising that it was the lack of having real conversation, like in person or direct conversation with Aaron Rodgers, that forced the Minnesota Vikings to say, we can't wait for you anymore. We're out of this thing.
Yeah.
Because it just was taking too long to get the initial starter side of this started. So, yeah, I mean, until I hear it from Aaron again, I go back to the Pat McAfee thing. When I see him on Pat McAfee telling us what's going on, because I don't know how else he would tell us, then I'll believe whatever is out there. For right now, I'm not done with it, because if it happens, it'll be, I think, good. But I can't put my eggs in that basket saying this is what I need and want to happen.
No, I don't think the Giants are in a need situation with Aaron Rodgers. I just think gives them the
best. But they do need a veteran quarterback.
They do.
That's a fact.
They do, and he's their best option. And I think most of us would just agree with that, no matter what you think of him as a person or you think of this process. He's their best veteran quarterback option.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Josh in Smithtown. Hey, Josh.
Hey, just a quick question. I missed the beginning of the show. Are you wearing the L, Evan?
Why would I be wearing the L today? What have I earned?
Well, I mean, the pizza debacle, I think, is at least worthy of a vote. I think it's one of the more egregious L-worthy things that have happened on the show in a while.
So we did take, in fairness, yesterday, and just to clarify for anyone not aware, yesterday I tried to supply pizza for all of us. The problem was I only ordered three. That was mistake number one. Mistake number two is when I showed up to pick up the pizza, they were way too small. That's mistake number two. And then when trying to rectify the situation and handing my credit card to Ray Martell, who works here, he ordered the crappiest pizzas in the world. I'm a baby. So it was clearly a debacle that I tried to fix. But I asked Tiki Barber and Sean Morash and Connor, who was filling in for Tommy, I said, listen, do I deserve to wear an L? And Tiki and Sean passionately defended my intentions and said I do not have to wear an L. So, sorry, Josh.
Team Evan. Hashtag team.
All right, well, listen, the jury has spoken. All right, I just didn't know you guys took a vote, so yeah. It is what it is.
We I'm glad you asked, because I do want the people to know. Obviously, we're on for many hours. You may not hear everything. There was a vote taken, and I passed. And I got to tell you, Sal tried to fix it today by bringing pizza on Friday, but what I would have told him before he did it was, no one works on Fridays!
Right, there's nobody here.
There's a bunch of cold pizzas sitting outside
now. And spoiler alert, the only pizza that went was Buffalo Chicken BT on pizza you bought.
Yeah, he should wear an L for that. Anyhow, what's on your mind, Josh?
So just quickly, you know, we're talking about Rodgers being a master manipulator, and, you know, a report came out from ESPN that the Browns are still interested in Russell Wilson, and that goes along with their interest in Jameis Winston, Carson Wentz, and Shedeur Sanders. And it's like, well, yeah, of course, those are all the quarterbacks that are available. And the only reason that impacts the Giants, and I'm just curious about Rodgers, is like, why wouldn't he use the Browns as leverage as well? And like, the fact that his name hasn't been attached to them at all, I find it a little strange. I'm curious what you think about that.
I think the Browns have enough headaches with quarterbacks, probably. I'm going to guess.
But why be interested in Russell Wilson?
Because Russell is benign. Like, we've talked about this with the Giants as well. If you bring in a veteran quarterback, let's shelf who that is right now, but you also draft a young quarterback, and at some point you need to bench the veteran, or you just decide to bench the veteran, even if you're good, like we were in 2004 with Kurt Warner and Eli, that veteran better be okay with it.
Right.
Russell Wilson, if he's that veteran quarterback, what's he going to say? He's not going to blow you up. He's not going to put you on blast. He's not going to go on national platforms and talk about how screwed up the organization is for sitting him down. But Aaron Rodgers might do that. And so if you're the Browns, the last thing you need is any more drama.
Yeah, well, I got two things to respond to that. Number one, if that's the case, and it's a fair point, then I wouldn't want to bomb the New York Giants. Because
yes.
I need to be in a position to sit my veteran quarterback, even if his name is Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Like, the beauty of Aaron Rodgers is that he gives me the best chance to win, but I still want to draft and develop a young quarterback, and I will sit Aaron Rodgers if either I'm not winning enough games or I'm loving the development of the young kid I drafted. If what you just laid out about why it didn't make sense for Cleveland
right.
is the case, then I would have major pause if I'm the New York Giants because I would want to do the exact same thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think that might be the case with the Giants.
My answer to him, though, on why he's not connected to the Cleveland Browns is pretty simple. And I don't think it has anything to do with the Cleveland Browns. I think it has to do with the fact that Aaron Rodgers has zero interest. I think that Aaron Rodgers has an interest in only playing for a team that he thinks can win. Now, I understand the reaction would be, well, what about the Giants? I think the Giants are an exception because he loves New Jersey.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
He loved being here, and so the Giants are easy.
Yeah.
It's the same reason he wanted to stay with the Jets. Let's not forget that. Aaron Rodgers wanted to stay here. The Jets were the deciders to break it up. Well, why did he want to stay here? He probably likes the house he has. He probably likes the area. He likes listening to the fan.
Right.
He loves having someone else pump his own gas. He loves the pizza. He loves everything about this area. And that's, to me, why the Giants are in on him, or at least have a chance. The Browns are losers. And I don't think Aaron Rodgers was ever going to waste his time with a losing situation unless it came in the package of the great state of New Jersey, which is what the Jets and Giants can offer. Am I wrong?
Yeah, no, you're right. And it's simplistic, but it might be simplistic when it comes down to it. And so, like, I honestly think Aaron Rodgers, just to go back to your prediction on him, is contemplating not doing it anymore. Because if there's not an ideal situation for him to go somewhere and try to win a championship, Minnesota might have been the best bet, and they're already out on him. Why is he going to just continue to be journeyman-ish?
Right.
Have a another disappointing season wherever, whether it's Cleveland or New York or wherever, and then want to be released next year and then have to do it all. Like, why would you keep doing that?
Right.
So just to me, it doesn't make sense if it's not a potential winner for Aaron Rodgers.
Now, I want to get to this guy because this guy has a problem that I haven't even picked up yet about Tiki Barber. And I think this should be addressed. Roscoe in Brooklyn. Roscoe, it's good to hear from you.
What's up, baby?
What's up, man? Now, I'm curious. What is your issue right now that's kind of burgeoning, if you will, with Tiki Barber?
You know, I'm the originator. When we asked Craigie a couple years back, who was he going to root for? And every year we had a big decision. And every year we brought in balloons and popcorn and ice cream and pizza for every Friday. Evan, you messed up on that one. Anyway, on another note, Tiki Barber.
What up?
My man. I've been hearing little jitters. And I don't know, Tiki. Did you abandon ship on us, Tiki?
What are you talking about? You talking about the Yanks?
You know what I'm talking about, Tiki.
You talking about the
Yanks? Last year with everything, Yanks. And I'm not going to mention that traitor's name, because I would never. He's destined. I just want to know, Tiki.
You only had him for a second, Roscoe.
Listen, man. I don't even know about baseball this year, man. I'm sad, bro. I'm sad, man. Tiki, Evan, you owe me some tickets, man. You owe me a game. I still haven't forgotten you. We want to know. The public wants to know. Who is Tiki Barber rooting for? Is it the Empire Yankees? Or is it the amazing My Team Sucks Mets?
No, it is not.
Thank you, Roscoe.
That was intense. I didn't know that I was creating a controversial decision out there.
I think
just because I'm a non-hater, unlike everybody else at this station, especially on our show, who aggressively hates on the team that they don't like. Look, I told you guys why I'm a Yankee fan, because I got to know Yankees. He's one of my best buddies. We're going to the Hall of Fame up in July, up in with my first time in
Cooperstown.
I keep wanting to say Canton.
Great Lake
is up there in Cooperstown. And so I became a Yankee fan because I was friends with the Yankee players.
So let me clarify here, because I think Roscoe's concerned about the way you've talked about the Yankees leading up to this season. So let's just get this clarified.
But how have I talked about them?
You're very negative.
No, I'm not negative. I'm just concerned about the injuries. And I hate spring training because all they did was lose people this year.
So you are just a concerned Yankee fan. You're not abandoning ship.
100%.
Okay.
I am concerned because I was reading an article this morning, actually, and it seems like Oswaldo Cabrera is going to be our starting third baseman. And I'm like, all right, that .230 career average ain't great. Man, let me just go look at some advanced stats. So I pulled up some fan graphs and started peeping out Oswaldo Cabrera. He had a pretty good spring.
Hit
310, hit a couple home runs here and there, but his swing rate out of the zone increased by a lot. But his takes on bad pitches, I mean, it's just one of those things where you get nervous because it doesn't feel certain.
So here's what we got, Roscoe, and for anyone else who had concerns, Tiki Barber is not a team whore the way Craig Carton is.
That's the most important thing. I don't hate the Mets.
Right.
I actually appreciate the Mets.
No, you do.
And in fact, when you talk to the people, our good friends at the Cadillac Club, hey, man.
Oh, yeah. You
any,
love that.
Any day.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you, Jamie.
You are not becoming a Met fan. You're not leaving your Yankee fandom. You are just concerned about the Yankees going into the season.
Yes. I'm actually concerned about the Mets, too, if I was being an IBO.
See? He's just a concerned baseball fan. So he's not leaving the Yankees. We're not having some big celebration to determine what team he's rooting for this year. He's just a Yankee fan. And the proof that he's a Yankee fan is what he said at the end of that story, which is he was looking at the advanced stats of Oswaldo Cabrera. That's how you know. And by the way, speaking of Oswaldo Cabrera, you were looking at the advanced stats. I was playing a game earlier this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking to myself, how many different opening day third basemen have the Yankees had in the post-A-Rod era? Because the Yankees, if you think about their history, it's not littered with great third basemen. Like, they've got a few. I mean, A-Rod was great. Wade Boggs was towards the end of his career. He was solid. Obviously, Craig Nettles. But they don't have legendary Hall of Fame third basemen. It's not a part of their lineage. But A-Rod was great. So is this an A-Rod curse? So if you don't mind, Sean, Tiki would very much struggle with this. I think most people would.
Right.
Can you name every starting third baseman the Yankees have had since Alex Rodriguez was no longer their third baseman? And I'll help you out because A-Rod got suspended, missed a year, then came back as a DH. The last time A-Rod started on opening day at third base was 2012. So it was a long time ago.
Jeez. 13 years.
So it's been.
I can't even remember who started at the beginning of last year.
Well, let's start there. Do you know who started at the beginning of last year?
Oswaldo Cabrera.
One for one.
Oh, that's right. We did this last week.
Yeah.
The Oswaldo Cabrera part.
Right.
Do you know who started in 2023?
Was it Josh Donaldson?
That's what I was going to say.
It was Josh Donaldson. Yeah. He also did 2022.
All right.
So you got two in a row with Donaldson.
This is where you're going to lose me.
2021, the starting third baseman.
Ooh. Oh, Dan, did you just blow it for me, Connor? Gio Urshela?
Gio Urshela is correct. He did it in 21 and 20.
All right.
2019.
Miguel Andujar?
Correct.
Wow. Okay.
2018.
Sheesh.
No shot.
No shot.
Hey, Connor, can you stop cheating?
Was he right?
I didn't hear him. I just hear voices.
I said it's got to be Chase Headley.
It is not Chase Headley.
No, he's a little earlier than that.
2018. Was he a good player? Good little player?
Is he a good player in baseball, or was he good for the Yankees? Because those are two different things.
Oh, okay. Did he play for the San Francisco Giants?
The guy's had some success in his career. Did not have success with the New York Yankees.
Did he go play for the Giants?
I'm not giving you hints. Just guess yes or no.
Because I don't know the name, but I'm picturing the guy.
I'm going to give you the answer. Not Tyro Estrada.
Okay.
The answer is Brandon Drury.
Oh,
Brandon Drury.
I don't even remember him as a
2017.
Chase Headley.
That would be Chase Headley. And Headley did it 3 years in a row, 17, 16, and 15.
You
Headley.
You could bank on Chase. Okay.
You could bank on Headley. In 2014, who was the starting Yankees third baseman?
Woo! So this is the first one after A-Rod, or
no,
two?
No, there's two more. You're almost there.
2014. We're not talking about like Eduardo Nunez.
No, the guy played for the Mets. This is a guy who played for both the Mets and the Yankees.
Was he a Met prior to this 2014 Yankee stint?
He was not.
He went to the Mets after.
We love taking your leftovers.
I still have no idea.
The answer is Kelly Johnson.
Oh, my God. He had big nostrils. That I remember.
And finally, 2013. I'm not even going to let you guess. The answer was Jason Nix.
I thought Jason Nix had a future. I remember him.
So
okay.
Think about that. That's eight third basemen who have started on opening day since 2013. It's probably going to be Oswaldo Cabrera, though Evan Roberts' brain continues to report that it will eventually be Nolan Arenado.
It's not happening.
We'll see. Let's go to Gabe in Wayne, New Jersey. What's up, Gabe?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking the call.
What's up?
You guys are talking about Rodgers. I don't understand. First off, he's in Aruba. He's not in Pittsburgh. I don't understand how the Giants can even be taking a look at a guy like Rodgers. And here's the thing.
Why is he in Aruba, by the way? Hold on. You just breaking news over here like it's nothing?
I can say it because he's making up lies too. So, like, I mean, look, I don't have the same kind of pull as this guy. But,
right,
you know, like,
right.
I can make statements.
I like it.
I get that the Giants need a veteran quarterback, but let's take a couple of things with Rodgers, right? What quarterback has he made better on the Jets, right? Like, what young quarterback has he taken under his wing and made better? Zach Wilson looks like a stud out there in Denver as a backup quarterback doing nothing, so that's off the table. So that's number one. Number two, the guy's aging. Yeah, I mean, it's clear. He's not Tom Brady. People keep thinking like he's a veteran like Tom Brady. Nope, there was one Tom Brady. He's not it, and that's okay. He can be a great quarterback in his own right, but he is not Tom Brady.
That is doing it at an old age.
Right.
Yeah.
And then number three, from a culture perspective, this guy, the Jets didn't walk away from him. He walked away from the Jets because he was refusing to take up their stipulations that were, in my opinion, pretty simple, right? Number one, don't be a distraction. Don't spend so much time on the McAfee show. Just focus on the team. And then number two, mandatory
practice. We don't know if that was true, though. Like, here's the problem with the Jets, my issue as a Jet fan, and I'm going to have to get over it because I'm never going to get what I'm looking for. They never clarified why they moved on from Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And we can make stuff up. We can come up with theories. We could all give our reasons for why we think.
We're the freaking New York Jets.
But we never heard from Darren Mooji or Aaron Glenn specifically addressing why they made this decision. So, look, you have every right to call up and speculate on why. I could speculate on why. We all could speculate on why. But we can't just say it as fact. Like, we can't just say, yeah, the Jets got rid of him because he refused to go on Pat McAfee.
Nobody, or not to go on Pat McAfee.
Right.
Nobody has talked about it, and it doesn't do the Jets any good one way or other to talk about it.
You're right. It just frustrates me as a fan because you always want to have full transparency. You want to know why things happen. That's all. As far as the Giants and Aaron Rodgers and what young quarterback did he make better with the Jets, that is a completely unfair question. It's unfair because, in my opinion, Zach Wilson sucked. He was a failed quarterback prospect by the time Rodgers came in, and he wasn't any miracle worker, okay? Number two, if you want to blame him for Zach Wilson, do we give him some credit for Jordan Love?
Yeah, you have to, because he didn't mentor Jordan Love. Some of that can go to, obviously, LaFleur, their coach, but I think a lot of what you see in Jordan Love is influenced by what Aaron Rodgers, how he played, and his aggressiveness pushing the ball downfield. He, even if you're not teaching that, you're getting it via just being around a great quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. So, like, the whole he can't teach the young guy, that's a coach's job. Mm. So I can't put it on Aaron Rodgers. He's not being paid to teach somebody. It's not like the explicit Kurt Warner situation when Eli came in, where Kurt even said, look, I'm here to groom the young kid. That's not what Aaron Rodgers wants to do. Aaron Rodgers wants to win. He wants to go someplace and fix the last couple of years of his legacy, because with the Jets, it was a disaster. We all know why, the injuries and other things, but he's not coming to just teach.
No.
Like, he doesn't want to be a coach. That's served for special people who don't like sleeping at night.
Well said.
You should be a coach, Evan.
Really? No, I cannot do that. I need to watch YouTube videos at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Watch YouTube videos on how to coach.
That's true.
I'm a baby.
That's true. Work on that. We'll get back to your phone calls. Plus, Knicks fans and Ranger fans, you have plenty to bitch about. Wow, concerned should you be if you're a Knicks fan? And what the hell should the Rangers do in the closing days of this season as their season continues to sink? We address the garden issues coming up. 888-808-1019. So the latest on Aaron Rodgers is that he was visiting the Pittsburgh Steelers training facility today. And now Diana Russini, who Aaron Rodgers says knows nothing about him, is reporting that Aaron Rodgers has left the Steelers facility and no deal has been made. Which means what I have surmised is going to happen soon. Aaron Rodgers is now going to meet with the New York Football Giants. He's meeting with his suitors, and I don't know when he's going to make a decision. He doesn't need to rush to make a decision, because as long as the Steelers and Giants are sitting there waiting wide-eyed, you know, he could take as long as he wants. Now, why does he have to wait? Or why does he have to rush?
He doesn't have to rush at all.
So I
believe in the Giants.
Can you play the drop where he says the Giants suck? Because that's what he actually said. And so that'll be a fun thing to play over and over again.
If the Giants suck?
Yeah. That's not altered, by the way. He did say that.
Yes, but it's out of context.
Doesn't matter.
Significantly.
I believe in the Giants.
See, that's edited. That's not real. He didn't say he believes in the Giants. All right, real quick, before we get into the Garden teams, and we'll get back to your calls on Rodgers, the Knicks, the Rangers, St. John's, the Mets, the Yankees, whatever you want, 888-808-1019. Before we rip the Knicks, you have to hear something that I hope will make everybody happy. Because there's a gentleman on Twitter who I've been following for a while now, and I've been waiting for the right time to put this gentleman over. His name is Doug B. Doug B is the Knicks metal recaps guy. And after every single Knicks game, this Doug B, who's a bassist,
He plays a bass guitar.
He's an audio producer. He's a Knicks maniac, according to his Twitter profile. He will actually produce a metal song recap on the Knicks game that night.
Yeah, covers of other songs.
Yes, he covers another song with Knicks lyrics.
Right, and you'll recognize the song. That's 100%. The reason why it's important.
And the reason why I thought today was the day to play it, like why today? This guy Doug B's done a great job all year, is I know Knicks fans are in bad moods. I know that they're upset, they're down, and they're probably tired, since the team is tired from all those late flights. So before we rip the Knicks, let's at least smile listening to this awesome music of Doug B, the Knicks metal recaps guy, recapping last night's embarrassing loss to the Charlotte Hornets.
Wasting. Wasting. Here come all Knicks fans there.
LeBron Jeffries. Trying to win a game when all you got is OG. Y'all need Brunson right now to stay at three.
How good is this?
You should be embarrassed, Evan.
How? Why should I be embarrassed?
Because that is good music to play in the air. Blows all your AI stuff out of the water.
When have I ever claimed my AI is better than Doug B or any other great musician?
But what we just learned from Doug B there is your AI is actually unplayable.
So what you're saying is...
Well, this guy's an actual musician.
Is he so good?
It's an actual human being.
Yeah. I know, but it shows you that parody-style music on sports radio works if he's an actual musician.
Okay, first of all, don't turn this as a knock on my AI music.
I wasn't the only one thinking it. I'm going to tell you right now.
Do you think that we should just start like paying Doug B a lot of money to create this brilliant music for stuff besides the Knicks?
Did you say we should start paying him?
Okay, should I start paying Doug B?
Anytime you have an urge to make an AI song.
How much do you think he would charge per song?
Like, good question.
If this was an
Isn't
la carte.
Boys with CP?
Excuse me?
Isn't he Boys with CP?
Would CP the franchise?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that. They could be. But even if they're friends, he's not going to write me music for free. Like, I have to pay him. But if it was a la carte, like I call up Doug B., the Knicks Metal Recaps guy, it doesn't interfere with his Knicks schedule. And I say, hey, Doug B., I need a song about how the Mets can't send Mark Vientos down to the minors. Can you put one together for me? How much do you think he charges? I would totally go $20 a song.
I think you go barter system here.
What do you mean?
Now you have your limits. You say, we need 10 songs with you from you in a year. I'll give you 3 pairs of my season tickets next season.
Bro, I do have Knick tickets.
You barter 3 games with them.
That's a good idea.
For 10 song max. That's it.
You think that's what it's worth?
Because anytime you get an urge, you have to ask yourself, is it worth using one of the 10 songs?
Because he's creating the lyrics. The music is, it's other people's music.
He's covering these great songs with his own brilliant wording.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, which is fine, by the way. I'll pay for it. Well, he follows me on Twitter, so maybe I'll slide into his DMs.
Take a slide,
Is that awkward, though, to say, hey, Doug B., I'm a big fan. I'd like to pay for you to write music for me. How much does that cost?
Look, I just think it would enhance the show over you going digitized. That's all.
But it's got to be about things he doesn't necessarily care about.
Right.
That's going to be the problem.
And I don't want it to interfere with the Knicks stuff, because the Knicks stuff is brilliant. I mean, that song...
He does one a night, right?
Every time they play.
Wow.
Win or lose.
He's more reliable than Loogie.
Oh, no question. Loogie just tweets the same 5 things over and over again. Doug B., the Knicks Metals recap guy, gives you like this complete song. So well done. So well done by Doug B. Now, as far as the Knicks are concerned, can I calm everybody down? I got to calm you guys down. You guys are fools. The Knicks fans are fools. I get that they're playing like crap.
By the way, I'm just glad he did the Beatles.
Oh, you like that?
The Beatles. Great.
Yeah. Oh, he does it all. I get that the Knicks are playing like crap. I get that they're tired. I get that the schedule is brutal. I get that the bench sucks. And I totally understand the complaining about Tom Thibodeau, which we'll get to in a minute. But I need to remind everybody that on March 21st, these games do not matter. Okay? They don't matter. Just like when you beat the Heat and you're pounding your chest, they don't matter. Just like if you beat the Celtics, they do not matter. All this stuff is frustrating. I'm not telling you not to be frustrated. I, as a fan, don't like seeing my team lose. But you're going to be the 3 seed. You are. You need a healthy Jalen Brunson.
Mm-hmm.
I got concerns about the coach, which we'll get to in a minute. But as far as, I can't believe the effort. Bro, they're not giving that effort in game 1 against Detroit.
No.
They're not giving that effort in the playoffs. So let's remember what this actually means.
Right, but that is the concerning thing, is the effort. You see, the closeouts just look really, really slow.
Why would that concern you about a game in mid-April in the playoffs?
It doesn't, but it's just...
You think they're going to try like that?
It's funny. I was listening to this Marshall Faulk, who is now the running back coach at Colorado, I think, or Colorado State, one of those places. And he just came up to give his introductory, I'm Marshall Faulk, some of you guys' kids don't know me. But the one thing he said that's so pertinent and relevant, he said, what we're going to ask you to do requires no skill. No skill at all. Doesn't matter if you're a 5-star. Doesn't matter if you're a 2-star recruit. No skill is needed to give effort. All you got to do is give effort. Okay. That's all we're asking for. And
I got
in some of these games, it looks like the Knicks, as Mikal Bridges said, or actually, no, Josh Hart said, they look spent.
I agree.
It looks like, man, I can't even run out. OG gets blocked at the rim, and he's just complaining about perfectly clean block, and he just doesn't hustle back and, you know, easy dunk for Charlotte. So it's just, it's effort. Now, effort is comes from, lack of effort comes from fatigue, I think. They just look tired, man.
I agree.
They're big. These bigs are just knocking down three after three after three against them. It's because Cat doesn't want to run out, right? Precious doesn't want to run out. And these guys are getting basically warm-up three-point attempts.
Mm-hmm.
So effort you can control. Fatigue, maybe that helped. It pins you down.
Do you think
bit.
They're not going to try on April 19th in game one against
are.
The Pistons?
Of course they
okay,
are.
Okay, so then what's the problem? What are we so concerned about?
Because if you keep grinding them into the ground,
yeah.
maybe come April 19th, then it's not going to have the energy
to
do
okay,
it.
That's that is the issue I have. The issue I have is not 115-98 to Charlotte. The issue I have isn't shooting 40% from the field. The issue I have is that on a night where you got blown out again, you had OG Anunoby playing 37 minutes.
Yes.
On a night again where you got blown out on a back-to-back, you had Cat playing 36 minutes. Like, that's the problem. And here's the thing that
Josh Hart played 39.
Yeah. No, I get you. Here's the thing that the Knicks have to understand. I want Knicks fans to understand this. You guys lost the battle. And you know what battle I'm talking about? The fights we used to have on the air. You guys remember this?
Mm-mm.
Knicks fans or basketball fans would fight with me about rest days. You can't rest guys. That's not what they did in the 80s. That's not what they did in the 90s. And what I used to tell these people back when the Nets were actually good and the Knicks sucked is, no, you have to put yourself in the best position to succeed in April. And unfortunately, you may not like it, we live in a modern world in which you are better off resting, that there needs to be days where you don't play. Like the badge of honor of playing 82 games is a very overrated macho thing. It's just not necessary. And I'd fight with these people about rest days and minute restrictions. And yeah, I know Jordan didn't care about it, but this isn't Michael Jordan. This isn't 1998. I want you to look at the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Boston Celtics, the teams you're not as good as. You know what they do? They're resting their players. Right. Oh, my God. That used to be the third rail. It's not. It's what modern NBA teams do. Karl Anthony Towns probably shouldn't have played last night. Now, I know what the pivot's going to be. Our bench sucks. Our bench didn't score a point till the third quarter. Let me walk you down this a little bit. If you play Anton Watson for more than 2 minutes and you actually develop him, and you play him, or Beauchamp, or Tyler Kolek, and you actually play them, as opposed to garbage time for 2 minutes, you may do what the Nets have actually done, which is get guys who are borderline NBA players to actually play at a good level because you're getting them a chance to play.
Right.
It's like the chicken and the egg theory. Well, our bench sucks. Well, yeah, maybe because you're not developing any of the young players. So the mistake I think the Knicks are making, and this goes above Tom Thibodeau, is they need to embrace the modern NBA. Sit guys on back-to-backs. Throw Beauchamp and Watson and Kolek into the mix. You sign P.J. Tucker, you could play him. You're allowed to. And so take the pressure off of these guys, because look around the league. And stop living in 1996 like it means a rat's ass. It doesn't. The Thunder sit guys.
Yeah.
The Celtics sit guys. Like, that's my issue. My issue isn't losing 115-98. My issue is you lost 115-98 and you ran your guys into the ground.
Right, Cleveland does the same thing. Now they've lost three games in a row and everybody's panicking.
They're not panicking, though.
The Cleveland's not panicking, but NBA followers are, oh my God, they've become vulnerable. No, they're not.
They're being smart.
They're locked in.
They're smart. Because I'm telling you, it's like, well, we can't sit our guys because our bench is so bad. You got to play them a little bit. Doesn't mean they're going to turn into all-stars,
yeah.
But they may actually be better than you think. And I think that's my issue with them. It's not the standings. It's not the effort. Because all that stuff's going to change when it matters. You know, you guys know that.
Mm-hmm.
What, you're not going to try in game one against the Pistons? Cut that crap out.
It's not going to happen this year, though, Ev.
What's not going to happen?
Like, a Tiger is not changing his stripes.
What does that mean?
Tibbs isn't going to do this. This is what he does. It doesn't matter that it's a complaint. The only hope you have is that he sees that it's the end-all, be-all of the Knicks. Like, if the Knicks go down in flames in the first round or the second round and we point to running guys into the ground, you need him to have his pre-07 Coughlin moment, like after Tiki retired and he found out the team was going bowling. And that's the only way. A coach has to be able to change when it isn't working, and it's too late for this year's Knicks team to do it.
I don't think it's too late.
You don't think so, but you think he's going to change?
Why? No, I don't think
he's been this way his whole coaching career.
I'm not telling you he's going to change. I'm giving you my opinion that right now this is a mistake, and it should change. Do I think he's going to change? No, but that's not my point. I'm telling you this is wrong. I'm telling you that that would be my main criticism. Not losing by 16 to the Hornets. It's you're losing by 16 to the Hornets while continuing to run your guys into the ground.
Mm-hmm. And they played a ton of overtime games as well this year. 7 overtime games. Which is, I mean, it's a lot.
And they've won all of them except for one, right. If I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
888-808-1019. Let's go to Kerry in Sayreville. What's up, Kerry?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
We're good. What's up?
Not much. You're forgetting that the Celtics, the Thunder, and the Cavs, they're all locked in. We may not even get the 3 seed at this point. The way they look, the Pacers are winning, and we are not. So these games are important. And not that it matters. I think they're done this year. I think Kat kind of destroyed our team. Randall 2.0, as I like to call him.
Wow.
What? Really?
Why do you think that, Kerry?
He plays zero defense, and he's soft.
Yeah.
And he pretty much plays the exact same game Randall plays, except he's a lot more money for a lot more years.
Wow.
He's a little taller. Maybe he gets a little bit more rebounds.
Let's see.
Randall 2.0.
Let's see, wow. In fairness.
That's a new take. I haven't heard that
in
one.
In fairness to Randall 2.0.
Thank you, Kerry.
Let's see him not disappear in the postseason. Because that's something Julius did.
Mm.
Let's see him not disappear. Where I disagree is, look, they're 3 games ahead of Indiana, 4 games ahead of Milwaukee, 5 games ahead of Detroit, with tiebreakers on all of those teams.
Right, but there's 13 games left.
That's my point. They're basically a lock for the 3 seed. Like, yes, could they lose every game and drop to 4 or 5? Sure. They're not going to lose every single game. And I wouldn't be concerned with a 3. It's really a 4-game lead because of the tiebreaker. So I'll just say it.
Yeah,
they have a 4-game lead with 13 games to go.
True, but they
are blowing it?
They lost to a sub-20 win team.
Okay.
Yesterday.
The Pacers should have lost to the Nets last night if it wasn't for Trenton Watford trying to start a fist fight.
But they didn't.
I understand, but they almost did.
And by the way, the Nets are bad too, but you know what I mean. I was going to claim that they had a chance to get to the play-in, but they
don't think Milwaukee or Indiana or even Detroit are going to win enough with the Knicks losing every single game to drop out of 3. And by the way, even if they did drop out of 3, it's not the worst thing in the world to be in the 4-5 matchup. So my point is the standings don't scare me.
Mm.
What I would try to do, and it probably is too late, Sean, if that's your overall point, is I would try to not run down my starters constantly.
I agree with that.
I think we all agree on that, but we just know that this coach isn't going to do that. He's going to live and die by his philosophies, and it, by the way, is going to be the death of the Knicks ultimately.
Depends
on what round.
I got a text from a buddy of mine who's a big Knicks fan who's defending Thibodeau by saying, come on, man, he played Landry Shamet 19 minutes.
I mean, come on.
That's one guy.
Well, you also don't have Jalen Brunson, so somebody's got to take those minutes.
Well, but I'm giving...
not going to be all Deuce.
No, it should be the G League guys you just signed.
Mm.
Develop them. Tyler Kolek's been on the roster all year long. Throw him out there.
He played 2 minutes, didn't he?
Yeah, 2 minutes? Mm. That's my point. That's not enough. Let's go to Corey in Edison, New Jersey. What's up, Corey?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
What's
so
up, man?
You're the best, but I can't disagree more with this Knicks thing. Since January 1st, the Knicks are 20-16. That's the definition of mediocrity, right? So that's 2.5 months of what they put on tape is just average basketball. On top of that, the Knicks have only had 2 win streaks this year, the entire season, of 5 games or more. There is no consistency at any point, even going back to November, where they showed, dominance for a long period of time, right? So I think they've shown who they are, and at this time, we just got to believe them. Thanks.
I think what they are right now in terms of what they've accomplished this season at 43-26 and the inconsistencies and not having Mitch healthy most of the season and now not having Jalen Brunson healthy, what they have shown is what most people think, and I think they're going to end up doing, which is winning around and getting slaughtered by the Celtics. I agree. That's why I'm not freaking out over losses to the Charlotte Hornets. Like, if they blew out the Spurs and Hornets the last 2 nights, you'd think differently? Unfortunately, there's not a damn thing the Knicks can do in the regular season that's going to change the perception of them not being in the Boston Celtics League. Not anything. The only thing that can change is late April, early May, playing them and beating them.
Yeah, but that's unlikely if they're continuing to stay worn down. Jalen Brunson doesn't get back in time to get fully back up to speed, or he's out of condition, whatever the issue may be. It's going to feel frustrating and almost a meaningless season after what happened last season.
I understand. My point is, does last night's game mean anything in the home ground scheme of things?
No.
That's all I'm saying. We got to stop freaking out over losses to tanking teams. What does it mean?
I'm not even worried about the loss to Charlotte. It's more what they look like. They were just lazy. They looked lazy.
They're beat up and tired.
Of course they are.
And the head coach shouldn't be playing each starter 37 minutes
on. Mikal Bridges has said that. Josh Hart has said that. Everybody is saying this.
So why is...
And then you see it. It's like...
And guys are playing 37 minutes a night.
Yeah, and you just can't do it, especially on back-to-backs.
Now, you're over there smirking over there because you're enjoying this Knicks failure. How about your garbage hockey team? You want to say something about them?
Yeah. I'd fire the coach tomorrow. The team is gutless, heartless. I love Chris Kreider. Thought he was going to be a lifelong Ranger. Adios this offseason. There will be no playoff hockey for the Rangers. And quite frankly, it disheartens me and pisses me off how you could not build off that. And everybody whined like babies when Jacob Trouba was about to be traded. And those losses have still haunted this team to this moment. And they're just a gutless bunch. So, and also, here's one more note. I don't give a damn how bad the defense is. You asked for $11.5 million, Igor. Play like a goalie that could carry your team. Little deflections front. I've already had it with Igor Shesterkin. This next decade, you're not a pimple on the ass of Henrik Lundqvist until proven otherwise.
You know what the lesson is?
Good enough
is?
For you, Ev?
I thought that was great.
Because I've had it.
No, I'm glad. I think you expressed that very well to the Ranger fans who all agree with you. I don't know. Do they agree with you about Igor, though? Or are they defending Igor?
I think a lot of people are still in the defend the goalie mode because there are a lot of defensive lapses. My only point is, you wanted to get paid like the best goalie in hockey. You are not. So I'm done making excuses for bad defense.
I want to remind you of something, and I have said this a lot on the radio. I said it about the Rangers. I said it about the Yankees. I said it about the Mets. I said it about the Knicks last year when Knicks fans were celebrating their Game 7 loss to Indiana. Oh, we tried. Oh, we were hurt. You never know if you're going to get the same opportunity. The New York Rangers last year had an opportunity. They blew it. 2 years before that, up 2-0 on Tampa, they had an opportunity. They blew it. They may never get back there. Based on this season, they won't. Yankee fans, you were in the World Series with a lead in Game 1. You had an opportunity. You blew it. Met fans, I know we're all giddy for the season. We were tied with the Dodgers 1-1 with Game 3, 4, and 5 at Citi Field. Mm-hmm. We had an opportunity. We blew it. Okay? We blew all these opportunities. The Islanders, I'm an Islander fan. We got to the seventh game against the dynastic Tampa Bay Lightning and lost on a shorthanded goal. We had an opportunity. We blew it. And you never know when you're going to come back. So for both Garden teams, with Knick fans being down, with the Rangers being a joke, think back just briefly to last year. It was an opportunity, and you blew it.
Yep.
And there's no guarantee that you will ever be in the same spot. And I'll point to the Knicks, and I know injuries were a part of it. You were better than the Indiana Pacers. You should have gone up 3-0 in that series.
Yeah,
you didn't, and it was your best chance because now the East, specifically with Cleveland's emergence, is better, and right now you guys don't feel as good.
No,
they're missed opportunity.
Feel as good. They're just not as good. But it doesn't do any good to talk about the past and to harp on things that you can't control. What you can't control is what happens going forward. And unfortunately for this Knicks team, as Carrie said, and she's right about this, they still do need to win some games, right? You can't just limp your way into the postseason and expect to flip the switch and become good again all of a sudden, right? There's cohesion, there's rest, there's all these type of factors that go into being a postseason successful team. And the Knicks don't have any of it right
now.
Right. It doesn't look like they have any of it right now, especially when compared to the teams that they're going to end up ultimately facing, especially out in the second round.
There is one other thing, though, about the Rangers, that is, Sean, and I enjoyed hearing your pain. I think we all did, your anger. There's one other thing that's really got to piss you off. It's got to anger you to your core.
Yeah, I understand what's going on over at UBS.
The New York Islanders, the gutty, gritty, you can't believe they're still in it. New York Islanders, who decided we don't want to celebrate Brocktober anymore and traded away a guy like Brock Nelson, the New York Islanders, are even in points with the Rangers with two games in hand. Mm-hmm. They are 2 points out of a playoff spot after last night's overtime victory against the Montreal Canadiens. I want you to be honest with me. How much will it kill you if not only do the Rangers miss the playoffs, the Islanders?
See, this is Evan.
the Islanders sneaking.
Evan,
how much would that
what
just.
What are they? 2 points, you said?
They are 2 points behind the Montreal Canadiens. And this me and Sean, we got tickets. We're going to UBS last week of the year, Islanders Rangers. Yeah. And he's already agreed he's coming no matter what.
I did agree.
What are there, 14 games? 13 games?
I agree. This is where Evan asked a question in a way that is going to make me look like a jackass. Because the truth is, Evan, what I was going to do is compliment the Islanders and say they're playing free hockey. After this trade deadline, whoever's here, next man up, they're playing with guts. They're playing with passion. Patrick Waugh's coaching his ass off. I can't crush what's going on with the Islanders now. However,
what?
The reason it won't piss me off
why?
Is, unlike my team, that everybody would be shaking in the boots to play if they got hot and got in. The Islanders, you know,
four or five games out in that postseason.
Say that.
Of course I can. The Islanders are no threat to make a run in hockey.
If the Rangers get in the postseason, you're saying every team would be shaking the play.
Because they're a team with the pedigree last couple of years to make the Eastern Conference Final. The Islanders, come on. Cutesy run, they'll get in. They're cute for them.
If the Islanders sneak in, they would be matched up against the overrated Washington Capitals.
Yeah,
trust me, they'll be scared.
Okay.
You could take your 100 points. You could take your overrated President's Trophy. They will be scared.
Are they? Yeah, they're locked in. No, they're not. Winnipeg is also.
No, they're not locked in the President's Trophy, but they are going to be locked in with the number one seed in the Eastern Conference.
I'll go to that Ranger game, Islander game with you. I'm already committed. Next year, let's go to Islanders opening night when they raise the banner that says we won 9 important games in March. Can we go to that?
Don't try to
turn they have flipped the script 6 games against your Rangers. I got to just say it.
They have. And they shouldn't apologize for that, but I'm just saying, you know.
No one is looking to apologize. We're looking to taste your tears. That's all. Mm. Hey, how's that going for you?
5 playoff Islander games would be the only thing less relevant than St. John's runs in this town. Okay?
Oh, God. Now you're back on the hate
scene. I forgot. No, I like St. John's.
I was going to say, what happened? You flipped here?
He decided to take a turn.
Hope Omaha wins by 25 tonight.
Speaking of which, Joe is in Old Bridge. How are you, Joe?
Hey, what's going on? I was calling about St. John's, and then all that hockey talk just blew my mind with that Igor disrespect. But anyway.
See, Ranger fans don't think like that, Sean.
Well, not everybody.
That was just crazy. But anyway, Sean, I'm going to tell you why you need to be rooting, or at least give you a compelling reason why to root for St. John's.
Okay.
New York is unique in one way that every other sports city has that New York doesn't. New York has zero, and I mean zero, good college teams. We have no football team. We have no hockey team. But finally, we have something to watch in basketball. I don't know. And the city's already divided with 2 teams in every sport. Mm. This is the one chance this city could come together and root for something together.
I mean, can we stop pretending Seton Hall hasn't existed?
But here's where you're wrong. Here's where you're wrong. I'm casual on this. I am a fan of Seton Hall. Mm-hmm. I have talked to others who are fans of Seton Hall. I don't know if, like, push comes to shove, they'll root for St. John's to win a national championship, but for now, they're okay with the run.
Why?
Because they don't truly believe they can win a national championship.
Maybe.
They don't actually feel threatened.
Right. You give it another weekend, they get to the Final Four, you watch how quickly those Seton Hall fans turn.
I'll raise my hand to be perfectly honest with you. I'm rooting for St. John's. I got no issue with them. Will there come a time where I will turn? Probably, yeah. I don't think I'm going to want to see them win a championship. And that's pure jealousy. I'd admit that.
I think the other way. I think it's the closer they get. Again, I have no ties, obviously, mm-hmm. to these Northeast teams because Virginia is my alma mater. But
yeah.
I think the closer they get, the more I'd want to see it.
Yeah, I'm the opposite.
If you're the casual fan.
Yeah, I'm the opposite.
No real alliance to anybody else this way.
You know why? And this is purely selfish, but I think most people can at least acknowledge this and understand this. We are in a slump as a city. Now, no offense to NYCFC or the Liberty, but for as far as the teams that have been around, the professional teams, the teams that have been around for a long time, we're in a championship slump. We all dream of our team being the team to end
the
slump.
Hating because you'd be jealous?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm admitting that, though. Not now, not yet. Mm. I'm good for now. I think I'd be good to like the Final
That's
Four.
That's the weakest reason.
Is it?
Yes.
I think I'd actually be good until they got to a national title game. Like, I think I'd go all the way with it until the very end. And then
this
it would
makes
be...
me glad I'm a transplant New Yorker.
Why?
I'm not even a New Yorker. I live in New Jersey.
Why?
I'm glad I'm a New Jerseyer because I don't have to have this stupid jealousy over the teams in this town. Right? I didn't care that the Giants and Jets were in the same. Who cares? They played in the same. Who cares? We only play you ever if we played in the Super Bowl that meant the damn thing. Right? It's like, I don't get it.
This is the part of this show that Tiki can't, whether it's me and Loogie, Evan and Loogie, me and Evan, he can't stand when fans turn on the other teams in this town. It's unbelievable.
People
this
are doesn't bitching make because they're bitches.
Exactly. Exactly, Connor. That's exactly right.
But Tiki,
play that every time this nonsense comes up.
But I haven't turned yet. I'm just telling you, I can see myself turning at some point.
Yeah,
I'm not there yet.
And then you would bitch. You know why you would bitch?
Because I'm a bitch.
There you go.
He said it.
We'll come back with
bitch
your
New York Ranger fan.
We'll come back with your phone calls. There are people mad at, I'm sorry, what was, at Casey, Kerry for her Carl Anthony Towns is Julius Randle 2.0 take. There are Knick fans mad at me, even though I'm being more pro-Knick. There are thoughts about what the Rangers should do. Aaron Rodgers, it's all on the table at 888-808-1019.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.